The well-known and late preacher Fred Craddock tells of a young pastor visiting an elderly woman in the hospital. The pastor finds the woman to be quite ill, gasping for breath, and obviously nearing the end of her life. In the midst of tubes and bags and beeping medical machines, the pastor says, "What would you like for me to pray for you today?" The patient responds, "That I would be healed." The pastor gulps. And then he prays, "Lord, we pray for your sustaining presence with this sick sister. And if it be your will, we pray she will be restored to health and to service. But if it is not your will, we certainly hope she will adjust to her circumstances." Immediately after the pastor puts an amen on this safe prayer, the woman opens her eyes and sits up in bed. Then she throws her feet over the side and she stands up. Before the pastor can react, the woman walks over to the door, pulls it open, and strides down the hospital corridor. The last thing the pastor hears before she disappears are the words, "Look at me, look at me, I'm healed." The pastor pushes his mouth closed, gets up, and walks down the stairs and out to the parking lot. There is no sign of the former patient. He opens his car door and stops. Looking up to the heavens, the pastor says, "Please don't ever do that to me again." Healing is a tricky thing. All of us have been sick. All of us have been hurt. To one degree or another, further, those that we love have been sick and hurt. And at some point, many of us have prayed in those moments for healing. It may have been a short prayer said in passing. It may have been the most earnest prayer we have ever prayed. But most of us have prayed for healing, for ourselves or for another. And sometimes we or those we have prayed for have received that healing. The cold goes away before the big presentation. The arm heals before the big game. The cancer is suddenly gone. Unfortunately, just as often, if not more often, the healing does not come, no matter how fervently we have prayed. The pain and discomfort linger for days, weeks, or years even. The sickness won't go away. It even worsens. And in some tragic situations, death comes before healing ever shows its face. This is the uncertain and very real reality of life. Sometimes we are healed, and sometimes we are not. The second part of that reality makes this story from Mark an even harder pill to swallow. Two people, the daughter of a Jewish official and a woman suffering for years, are presented to Jesus with serious life-threatening conditions, and he heals them. This is not troubling in and of itself, except when we remember that countless more must have come, some even that very day. And they did not receive healing. And countless more still come, and still some are healed, and still some are not. So what are we to make of it? It is an age-old dilemma, and I'm sorry to say we are not going to solve it today. This question, the why, Lord, why? Well, that question will linger for another day. And another, and another. So many have come before and found unsatisfactory answers. And today we join that long line. Why? Well, simply put, I do not know. Not any more than you do, at least. Why some are healed and others are not. Nevertheless, there is an important lesson to draw from this passage for today, where a little girl and a woman were healed. That lesson? Have faith. Now, we don't know exactly why Jairus' daughter and the woman who had been hemorrhaging were healed, but we do know that they were. And we can be sure, for Mark certainly was, that it was the power of Jesus Christ that healed them. Without Christ, the little girl would have remained dead, and the woman likely would have lived out the rest of her life with this debilitating condition. What made the difference for them? Well, most importantly, it was the power and the will of Jesus Christ. But just as significantly, it was faith. The faith of Jairus and the faith of the woman that brought them to the feet of the one who could heal. Understand that they each had every reason to stay away. Jairus was the president of the synagogue, one of the religious elite who almost certainly saw Jesus more as a threat. He had so much to lose in coming to Jesus that day. Power, influence, and status. But he did have faith. Faith that this one he had heard so much about just might be able to save the one thing that he loved the most in this world, his daughter. Faith that drove him out of his safe position in the synagogue to that shoreline where so many had gathered around this man from Nazareth who had the power to calm the storms and to cast out demons. Faith that drove him to his knees at the feet of Jesus. A religious official groveling at the feet of a rabble-rouser. My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. It was desperation, sure, but there had to be faith there as well. Faith that Jesus could actually do something about the situation. Otherwise, why would he even bother? And the woman. Well, the woman was clearly desperate. She had seen every doctor she could find, tried every cure. The Talmud alone prescribes 11 different cures for her condition, from tonics and astringents to sheer superstitions like carrying the ashes of an ostrich egg and a linen rag in summer and a cotton rag in winter. She had spent all of her money, and she was still not well. Her condition made her perpetually unclean, and so she was an outcast. She suffered physical pain, sure, but emotional torment as well. Isolation, embarrassment, and humiliation. If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well. What faith she had. And so she fights through the crowd, the same people who would mock her and cross to the other side of the road if they saw her coming. She has to know that she will be seen, ridiculed, chastised, and perhaps even arrested. Yet her faith drives her forward, stretches out her hand, touches his robe, and she is healed. Jesus then says to the woman, "Daughter," she hasn't been called that in years, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." And to Jairus, when news reaches him that his beloved daughter has died, "Do not fear," he says, "only believe." Faith. Alone, it has no power to heal, for only Jesus has that power. It does not even hold the promise of healing. Some are healed and some are not, even the most faithful. But without it, they do not come. Not Jairus, not the woman. And without it, we do not come either. Without faith that Jesus has the power to heal and wills to use that power, we do not come. Instead, we stay away because, like Jairus, we are afraid we might lose even more if we do throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus. We're proud people. We shouldn't need someone else's help. Besides, what would the others think if they knew I stooped so low as to kneel at someone else's feet? No, I can do this on my own. Or maybe we stay away because we are too embarrassed. The same fears that the woman had. Because we're private people. Others don't need to know our business. And Jesus has more important things to do or to worry about. Besides, I could never face those stares or those whispers. No, I'll stay away and face this condition with my dignity intact. Thank you. Whatever the reasons may be, and there are plenty, we must decide if we have enough faith that Jesus can heal to overcome all of our excuses. No, faith does not heal. But faith puts one foot in front of the other until we are face to face with the one who can heal. There is another very important role that faith plays in the healing process. Namely, faith opens the eyes of our hearts to see that healing is more than just the driving out of disease. Noted preacher and professor Tony Campolo tells a story about being in a church in Oregon where he was asked to pray for a man who had cancer. Campolo, unlike the preacher in the first illustration, prayed boldly for the man's healing. That next week, he got a telephone call from the man's wife. She said, "You prayed for my husband. He had cancer." Campolo thought when he heard her use that past tense verb that his cancer had been eradicated. But before he could think much about it, she said, "He died." And Campolo felt terrible. But she continued, "Don't feel bad. When he came into that church that Sunday, he was filled with anger. He knew he was going to be dead in a short period of time, and he hated God. He was 58 years old, and he wanted to see his children and grandchildren grow up. He was angry that this all-powerful God didn't take away his sickness and heal him. He would lie in bed and curse God. The more his anger grew towards God, the more miserable he was to everyone around him. It was an awful thing to be in his presence." But the lady continued, "After you prayed for him, a peace had come over him, and a joy had come into him. Tony, the last 3 days have been the best days of our lives. We've sung, we've laughed, we've read scripture, we prayed. Oh, how they've been wonderful days. And I called to thank you for laying your hands on him and praying for healing." And then she said something incredibly profound. She said, "He wasn't cured, but he was healed. He wasn't cured, but he was healed." Having faith in the great healer goes beyond believing that he has the power to heal. With stories like these from Mark and those that are written each day in the lives of people we know and love, it is ultimately not that difficult to believe. Having faith also means having trust. Trust that he knows what is best for us and for our world, and that he is working for good for all of those who love him. Trust that though we have one thing in mind when we are asking for healing, he may well have something far different, far greater in mind. Again, it does not mean that we or those we love will be spared, for the victory is won, but the battle is not o'er. But it does mean that though it may not take the form we desire or expect, well, the healing may still come, He wasn't cured, but he was healed. We have all been sick. We have all been hurt. Sickness of the spirit and injury to the heart included. Indeed, some of us are suffering right now. Unfortunately, I can offer no guarantee of a cure. I cannot even guarantee a healing akin to the one received by the man for whom Dr. Campolo prayed. I wish I could. Trust me, I wish I could. Too many men and women in my position have naively done so to the great peril of the people. It is simply not that easy or that definitive. And I can't even begin to venture a guess as to why our Lord chooses to heal some and not others, though I am certainly glad that decision is not in my hands. What I can do is encourage all of you, each of you, to have faith. Faith that our Lord does have the power to heal. Faith that our Lord loves us and wants what is best for us. Faith that puts one foot in front of the other, putting behind all that would hold us back and falling at the feet of the great healer and reaching out to touch his robe. It is the best we can do, and it is the best that we can do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.